Happy New Year, everybody out there in Radio Land. And how you doing? My name is Linda Sims, and the name of the program is called The Voice of the People, coming to you live from WGH Talk. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com, or you can download a free app on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or you can call in during this live broadcast if you want to be a part of my show by calling 740-383-9944. So how you doing out there? We're headed for 2024. We're each and every day, every second, we're getting closer and closer to singing Auld Lang Syne. So I know last hour I wasn't able to share with you those things I needed to share with you concerning our program. Those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, of 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They do have a wellness fitness walk campus adjacent to their sanctuary, and it is open to the public. I think it's 8 laps around, is a mile. It's just like going to the YMCA. And I'm sorry that my phone is dinging. I'm going to try to turn it down and see if I can stop that. We had a new birth to our family, a boy. So everybody's excited and everybody's texting everybody and got my phone dinging. So hopefully I turned down the volume and that will take care of that. Okay. I think their last free produce was in December. I think it starts back up in April, the third Saturday of every month for Logos Christian Ministries. We also have Cheryl Lee. She was my guest the past hour. She is the coordinator of Child Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Club, which is a faith-based after-school program located in all Marion City and County Elementary Schools, along with North Union City and County Elementary Schools. Cheryl Lee can be contacted at 740-262-0939. If you just want to know a little bit more about the program, if you're really interested in your student being a part of this after-school faith-based program, please give her a call or contact the local office of the school that your student attends. There are application forms there. They do need parental permission for your child to attend. Okay? Excuse me. I like to also start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is titled The Dance of Forgetting and Remembering. Life is akin to a dance between forgetting and remembering. We falter in this delicate game when we lose sight of our true essence and purpose, overshadowing our present with the shadows of the past. Forgetting who we are, spiritual beings of non-physical, eternal nature, embodiments of love, peace, and bliss, leads us astray. Our true self is the conscious, sentient soul, ever-present amidst life's cacophony, C-A-C-O-P-H-O-N-Y. I haven't ever seen that word before. The game is lost when we dwell on the material memories that haunt us, old wounds, past insults, and bruises to our ego. Instead, thriving in life means embracing our spiritual core and living with the wisdom of our true, peaceful nature. This thought for today is saying a lot. Now, I'm going to have to look up some of these words because they kind of, I hadn't seen them before. Find out how to pronounce C-A-C-O-P-H-O-N-Y. I don't even know what that word is. And there's another word here. Forgetting who we are, spiritual beings of non-physical, eternal nature, embodiments of love, peace, and bliss, leads us astray. Our true self is the conscious, sentient soul. Okay, sentient. S-E-N-T-I-E-N-T, soul. So we'll have a lesson in what these words mean. Okay, I like to know what I'm talking about and where I can make it plain to other people. As long as it's plain to me, can I, you know, let you know what it really means. So we're going to look up these words like right now. Okay. Sentiment soul. Sentient. S-E-N-T-I-E-N-T. Soul. I'm pretty sure that's how that one is pronounced. I'm going to type it in. All right. Let's see what that means. S-E-N-T-I-E-N-T. Soul. Let's see what that means. What is a sentient soul? The intellectual, mental, or mind-body understands, holds beliefs, has ideas and concepts, holds intention, and applies thoughtful reason to our lives. Thinking. Then I put the sentient soul, healing through feeling. What is a sentient soul? The parts of the soul, while many traditions, teachings include interpretations of the gross and subtle energy systems of a human being, I like to keep things simple and direct. Therefore, I think of there being three primary realms in which we operate and in which we can learn to sense ourselves more deeply. Wow, it is long. Intellectual, mind, mental, or mind body understands, holds belief, has ideas and concepts. And this is what this is more or less talking about, but this has taken it to another level. But I guess this says it's short and sweet. It is with this part of the soul that the human beings starts having a really non-physical inner life, albeit dependent on the impulses that arrive through the physical body. Who is that deeper? What? Wow. It is a part of the human soul. It not only meditates all perceptions or sensory impressions, but is also the seat of all drives, desires, and passions, and the impulses of our will. What we call the sentient soul can be there in life without being much penetrated by thought. The sentient soul is, first of all, that which receives the outer impressions. It is that part of the human soul which sends the perceptions of the senses into the inner being. It is this sentient soul which then allows to rise within that which connects itself as a feeling of pleasure and displeasure, as an inner joy, as an inner feeling of pain, so that which is brought and observed from without. The sentient soul is first of all that from which rise and drives and instincts and passions and affects the human nature. Well, I guess I kind of explained it a little more. I can't even ad-lib on that. So we're going to go on the sentient soul. I think I have done the best I could with that, looking up what Google, see what it has to say. And cacophony, that's C-A-C-O. Okay. What does that mean? Okay. The meaning of cacophony is harsh or jarring sound, dissonance, especially harshness in the sound of words or phrases. How to use cacophony: a discordant and meaningless mixture of sounds. The sound effects included a cacophony of hoots, crackles, and wails. Especially harshness in the sound of words and phrases. Cacophony is a noisy word. Words that descend from the Greek word phoné are making noise in English. Why? Because phoné means sound or voice. Cacophony comes from a joining of the Greek prefix cock and kakos, meaning bad, with phoné, so it essentially means bad sound, a word that indicates harmony or agreement in sound. Okay. Traces to phoné in the Greek prefix syn, S-Y-N, which means together. Refers polyphoné, refers to a style of musical composition in which two or more independent melodies are, I don't know, I'm going to leave that alone. I don't know where I found that thought for today, but hopefully we all kind of get the gist of it and we can just move on, okay? All right, so I have shared with you my thought for today. Maybe I need to get another one. And I've also shared with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, and also to all of you who have supported A Voice of a People by listening or even just spreading the word about the program to others out there. Thank you so much for your support down from January 2023 to December 31st of 2023. Hopefully, I can take all of you and some into 2024. We're going to try to make A Voice of a People a bigger and a better program. Okay? Yes, I would love to do that. And I can only do that with supporters and helpers. And I do love each and every one of you. I so pray for you to have a great, blessed, prosperous, safe, and happy new year. So, I share with you the thought for today. And now I am going to share with you the Old Farmer's 2024 Almanac, written by Robert B. Thomas, which was founded in 1792. Okay, and we are going to somewhat talk about January and the New Year's traditions from around the world. I thought this was very prevalent for today because this will be my last show before 2024. So I'm going to be talking about January, named for the Roman god Janus, protector of gates and doorways. Janus is depicted with two faces, one looking into the past, the other into the future. Some of you may already know that, and it kind of brings things back to my remembrance. New Year's traditions from around the world. Many New Year's traditions that we take for granted actually date from ancient times. This year, ring out the old and ring in the new with a New Year tradition or two. From singing Auld Lang Syne to eating black-eyed peas for good luck, discover different ways to celebrate the start of 2024. Make some noise! Making a lot of noise and light, from fireworks to gunshots to church bells, seems to be a favorite New Year's pastime across the globe. In Thailand, it was once tradition to fire guns to frighten off demons. In China, firecrackers routed the forces of darkness. In Denmark, they throw plates and glasses against each other's front doors to banish bad spirits. In Ecuador, it is tradition to burn the effigies of famous people to destroy bad juju from the past year and start fresh. In the early American colonies, the sound of pistol shots rang through the air. In the United States today, many watch the ball drop in New York's Times Square. In other countries, many folks wait for the church bells or the chimes of clock towers to ring out. That was a few places around the world and how they celebrate or bring in the new year. A lot of people have church services and they are in church, you know, praising God and bringing in the new and forgetting about the old and bringing in the new. Sometimes you have to bring things from the past into the new that are important to you. You know, and it's going to keep you accelerating and looking forward to a new year. We don't want to necessarily bring the bad into a new year unless it's something that we learned from it. And we'll bring what we learned from it into the new year. So we try not to make that same mistake again. I do want to deviate back to Christmas. I found out Christmas is about love. It's about love. It's about God's love for us that he sent his only son into the world to save men from their sins. It is about love of your family. Getting with your family, enjoying one another, hugging one another, kissing one another, feeding one another, having games or looking through old photographs, just old traditions. It's about love. It's about sharing love and the hustle and the bustle and the show and the shops and stores when you're out getting your presents and things and you meet people and they say, well, Merry Christmas to you. And you say, well, Merry Christmas to you. It's about love. It's about reaching out and touching other people. That's what Christmas is about. Because the Christ child only came once. We can only be thankful that he did come. He stepped out of heaven and walked this land. He lived, he ate, he slept, he cried, he walked, he talked with people on this earth. He suffered at man's hand. He bled and he died. And he died for 3 days, buried for 3 days. And on the third day, he arose from the grave. 40 days he walked on this earth and he ascended up to heaven. And he's soon to come back again. That's what we just witnessed. Christmas. And the love of Christ in us to turn around and share with other people. Not so much to beat them down and say, well, why aren't you going to church? And put your arms around them. I know many of you did that. And I can just feel it from where I am right now. The love that was shared and shown to others this Christmas season. And hopefully we can carry those things into the new and prosperous and loving new year. That's what I'm going to say. A loving new year. Because that's what we need. A loving new year. Okay. Now, eat lucky food is also a part of New Year's traditions around the world. Many New Year's traditions involve food. Here are a few. In Spain, people attempt to eat 12 grapes during the 12 strokes of midnight. Tradition says that if they succeed before the chimes stop, they will have good luck for all 12 months of the coming year.
Wow.
Okay. If they succeed before the chimes stop, that is eating 12 grapes during the 12 strokes of midnight, that they will have good luck for all the 12 months of the coming year. In the southern United States, black-eyed peas and pork foretell good fortune. In Scotland, where Hogmanay is celebrated, Scots also hold bonfire ceremonies where people parade while swinging giant fireballs on poles. Eating any ring-shaped treat, such as a donut, symbolizes coming full circle and leads to good fortune. In Dutch homes, fritters called olie bullen are served. The Irish enjoys pastries called bannocks. In India and Pakistan, rice promises prosperity. Apples dipped in honey are a Rosh Hashanah Jewish New Year's tradition. In Swiss homes, dollops of whipped cream symbolizing the richness of the year to come are dropped on the floors and allowed to remain there. Have a drink for the coming new year. Although the pop of a champagne cork signals the arrival of the new year around the world, some countries have their own beverages-based traditions. Wassail, a punch-like drink, named after the Gaelic term for good health, is served in some parts of England. We sang a song. We have a Christmas show here at WGH Talk. It was our 10th one. And we adopted this song maybe three Christmases ago. Let's Go Wassailing. And I had never even heard of wassailing, but I guess it's not new. It's something that has been going on for years. And now we see that wassail is a punch-like drink named after the Gaelic terms of good health, for good health. It's served in some parts of England, so it is an English drink. Spiced hot pint is the Scottish version of wassail. Traditionally, the Scots drink to each other's prosperity and also offered this warm drink to neighbors along with a small gift. So it is a warm gift. I guess you serve it warm. Okay. In Spain, cava, a sparkling white wine, is often served to guests for making toast. Give a gift. New Year's Day was once the time to swap presents. Gifts of gilded nuts or coins marked the start of a new year in Rome. Eggs, the symbol of fertility, were exchanged by the Persians. Early Egyptians traded earthenware flasks. In Scotland, coal, shortbread, and silver were traditionally exchanged for good luck. Put your best foot forward. In Scotland, December 31st is known as Hogmanay, along with fireworks, first footing, or the first foot in the house after midnight, is still common across Scotland. The first person to cross the threshold into one's home, called the first footer, is an indication of the year to come. That's what a lot of women say, especially single women. I don't want a woman to enter my door for the new year. They prefer a man to come and knock on the door and enter in across the threshold. It don't matter. Brother, dad, uncle, boyfriend, even ex. As long as it's a man that crossed that threshold first. New Year's Day. Yeah. I've heard of that one. And also have practiced that one, okay? Although the tradition varies, if the first footer is tall and dark, the year will be a good one. Of course, the entire spirit of a Hogmanay party is to welcome both friends and strangers with warm hospitality and, of course, lots of kissing all around. Okay, this is also some traditions for the new year. Turn over a new leaf. The dawn of a new year is an opportune time to take stock of your life. And that is so true. Jews who observe Rosh Hashanah make time for personal introspection and prayer as well as visiting graves. Wow. Christian churches hold watch night services, a custom that began in 1770 at Old St. George's Methodist Church in Philadelphia. The practice of making New Year's resolutions, said to have begun with the Babylonians as early as 2600 BC, and another way to reflect on the past and plan ahead. New Year's resolutions. I know many of you are probably getting them ready and probably have already put them out there in the air. Next year, I'm not going to do what I did in 2023. I'm going to excel and I'm going to do better. And I surely pray that we all have that in mind, that we would do bigger and better things. And love people more. Love people more. Show people the love of Christ. Show people that you care about them, that you care where they're sick or whether they're doing well. You know, pray for people. They don't necessarily have to know that you're praying for them. Sometimes secret prayer is the best prayer. God is listening. And He is the only one who can change a circumstance. Yes. So, personally, I don't find it necessary to ask a person, well, what do you need me to pray for? If someone asks me to pray, okay, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray like right then, whether they tell me what's wrong with them or not. And a lot of people won't. Some people will. But I know who knows what they're dealing with, what they're going through, and it's God Himself. And that is the one I am putting that petition to. He is the one that I am going to. He is the one that I am expecting to change the situation to the better. So let us also do that for the new year. Show more love. More love. New Year's folklore. Some customs and beliefs are simply passed down through the ages. Here are some of our favorite age-old sayings and proverbs. On New Year's Eve, kiss the person you hope to keep kissing. If New Year's Eve night wind blows south, it betokeneth warmth and growth. For abundance in the new year, fill your pockets and cupboards today. This number four. If the old year goes out like a lion, the new year will come in like a lamb, and vice versa. Number five. Begin the new year square with every man, i.e., pay your debts. Robert B. Thomas, founder of the Old Farmer's Almanac. So whether we resolve to return borrowed farm equipment, as did the Babylonians, or drop a few pounds, we're tapping into an ancient and powerful longing for a fresh start. Happy New Year. I thought that was so cute for the almanac to send that out. Yes, great. New Year's traditions from around the world. And I hope that you liked it. You know, they have something in here for every month. So when I'm going to try to keep this in mind. I will use the almanac and see what it says at the beginning of each month. Now, Robert B. Thomas, he is the founder of the Old Farmer's Almanac from 1766 through 1846. He existed. In 1792, Robert B. Thomas, a bookseller, school teacher, and amateur astronomer living near Boston, Massachusetts, began a North American institution when he published the first issue of the Farmer's Almanac. The word old was added in 1832. He soon distinguished his almanac from all others, writing in one of the early issues, "We must strive always to be useful with a pleasant degree of humor. That timeless formula has made the Old Farmer's Almanac an indispensable reference for generations of readers." Today, this almanac is owned and produced by Yankee Publishing of Dublin, New Hampshire, and is part of a family of products that extends its welcome and reach to readers with the Old Farmer's Almanac, the biennial Old Farmer's Almanac for Kids, an annual garden guide, the Vegetable Gardener's Handbook, and Flower Gardener's Handbook, comfort food readers, best recipes, and best everyday recipe cookbooks, full-color gardening, weather, moon, country, and other calendars, the extensive website, almanac.com, and a widespread social media presence. I truly enjoyed the month of January, Robert B. Thomas, and just looking around the world for New Year's traditions. Wow, what a great read and what a great find. Now, hopefully, like I said, those of you who are listening got something out of that, right? Right. It was really good. Really, really good. Okay. Now, I do know that. Hold on. I do know that in December, I did O Holy Night, Carols of Christmas, 10 Reflections from Our Daily Bread, and I did share the first day, so I'm going to share the last today. And it's called The seventh stanza. Christ says, Revelation 21 and 5, "Look, I am making everything new." In 1861, Henry Wadsworth, Longfellow's wife, died tragically in a fire. That first Christmas without her, he wrote in his diary, "How inexpressibly sad are the holidays. The next year was no better," as he recorded, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." The Civil War dragged on. Longfellow's son was badly wounded. As church bells announced the arrival of another painful Christmas, Longfellow picked up his pen to write, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day." The poem begins pleasantly, lyrically, but soon takes a dark turn. The violence of the pivotal fourth verse seems ill-suited for a Christmas carol. Accursed cannons thundered, mocking the message of peace. By the fifth and sixth verses, Longfellow's desolation is nearly complete. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent. He wrote, "The poet nearly gave up, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said. But from the depths of that bleak Christmas, Longfellow heard the irrepressible sound of hope, and he wrote this seventh stanza. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, good will to men. The war raged on, but it couldn't stop Christmas. The Messiah is born. He promises, "I am making everything new." Revelation 21 and 5. Change is in the air. When you have faced despair, how does the promise of Revelation give you hope? Well, it gives me hope because I believe God's word, and I believe that God wrote the Bible, and it is his way of giving us hope of something new to come. Whether it's going to heaven or we're going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years with Christ, I mean, it's something to look forward to. And I believe God's word, okay? So, I look forward to his promises, because he is a promise keeper, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That's who he is, right? Right. Okay. Dear God, we long for the day when you will make all things new. Revelation 21:1-5 says, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, Look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. God's word, God's promises that he will make all things new. A final thought, awakening at Christmas. One August day, wait a minute. Let's go here. We yearn to hear the angels on high, how we wish we had peace on earth. That thing we hunger and thirst for, the place we can't describe, is a spiritual longing. It is expressed in our better Christmas songs, but they point us to the real meaning of Christmas. As for Handel's Messiah, the lyrics are drawn from the pages of the Bible. Messiah tells the story of Emmanuel, God with us. So much of that passes for Christmas music today is well-packaged noise. In welcome contrast, our best Christmas music recognizes that we are singing of things we can't fully grasp. The carol of Christmas awakened in us the knowledge that God visited the world in human form. This changes everything, for truly, he taught us to love one another. Why then is there so much chaos and upheaval in our world? Or to paraphrase the ancient psalmist, Psalms 2:1, as Handel did in Messiah, why do the nations so furiously rage together? Likewise, the poet Isaac Watts understood that our global chaos is precisely why Jesus came to the earth, he wrote. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns ingest the sound. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. The curse, as Watts puts it, is everywhere we look. Yet he anticipates a different day, a day when Jesus will return. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Now more than ever, we crave a silent and holy night. We yearn to hear the angels on high, how we wish we had peace on earth. We long to be far away with the shepherds next to the manger. At Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' birth, but he came to die, and many of our greatest composers and poets understood this. Handel quoted Isaiah, who spoke of this Messiah. He was despised and rejected, Isaiah 53:3. Handel also anticipates the day when Jesus returns. Then He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Our best Christmas music taps into our primal awareness that we all need rescue. Jesus came to give us that rescue, to be with us despite living in a noisy, war-torn world. Christ the Savior is born. Emmanuel is with us, and He is still with us. He said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor lose my hold on you. Under no circumstances will I leave you without comfort. Let me read that for you, because that is so powerful to me. I love it. Oh, I love it. Let me read that to you. Okay. And that would be Hebrews 13:5. Amplified Version. And it starts like this. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Okay, assuredly not. And then one interpretation, there's a amplified right here, amplified C. Okay, let me read this one. Let love for your fellow believers continue and be fixed practice with you. Never let it fail. Do not forget or neglect or refuse to extend hospitality to strangers in the brotherhood, being friendly, cordial, and gracious, sharing the comforts of your home and doing your part generously. For through it some have entertained angels without knowing it. All right. Now also says 13. Is that the right one? I don't think that was the right one. Well, it says it is 13:5. Under no, he says, I will not, I will not, I will not under no circumstances leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. That means He always has His hold on you. He's holding you tight. He's not going to let you go. So do not fear, because God is here. He will be there for you in the new year, as He was with you in the year that we're leaving behind. It was God who have brought you down from January to December. It is God and Him alone who has carried you, who have healed you, who have taken care of you, who has prospered you all through this year. It was God and God alone. He is your help, your constant help. He is your way maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who He is, way maker. That's who God is. He has made a way for each and every one of you to to be alive today, and it's only has been His grace that we are here. And I pray those who are listening to me will still be here for the new year, because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. But I love you, and I thank you for listening to A Voice of a People. This is Linda Sims Pickett, over and out. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. Till next time, be blessed. I love you all. Thank you.